Thank you for listening to this download of Start the Week, presented by Tom Sutcliffe.
Hello. Science, in the popular understanding, isn't something that you can finish. There's always going to be more to learn, isn't there? But what if all the big discoveries have been made? In his book, Solving Chemistry, Bernard Balkin makes the bold claim that there are no surprises left in his particular field. From here on, he argues, chemists will be dotting the I's and crossing the T's and helping their colleagues in biology and physics with their work. I don't know what the astrophysicist Jo Dunkley feels about that, but there's no doubt there's work yet to do in her field. Her book, Our Universe, ends with her eager anticipation of cosmic discoveries yet to come. Sir Robert Lechler has a breakthrough insight as well, finding ways to help the human body repair its own organs. And if he's successful, the work he spent most of his career on, transplant toleration, will become redundant. He has no problems about that. And here to talk about what can happen when a scientific breakthrough leaves the laboratory and collides with the messy world outside is the epidemiologist Elizabeth Pisani. A certain field suddenly becomes fashionable, suddenly draws money towards it, which is partly what you're talking about.
That's right. And I think also we have to be aware that all of these things, the science has to work in real world context. So I'm absolutely thrilled that chemists have done their job. But I work at the moment in research on fake and substandard medicines, and there's still no tool. So I look at the spectroscopy and it's wonderful, but there's still nothing that you can give to a border guard on the frontier between Niger and Burkina Faso that he can point at a drug and say, is this real or is this fake? So there's a lot that we have to do to translate this fantastic science into real world context, I think. And one of the questions that you think about when you think about what to set your students on is, what can I get funded? Obviously. And this is a big problem. So you mentioned the too hard for now problems, but there are really two types of too hard for now problems in my experience. There's the ones that are scientifically really challenging. We don't have the instruments. And then there's the ones that are too hard for now because they're politically too, they're what I call the three monkeys questions, the see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. They're things that we don't actually really want to know about very much right now. When I started...
Can you give an example?
I started in HIV research 110 years ago, it seems like. And at the time, that was something that people really didn't want to know very much about, particularly in real world contexts in sub-Saharan Africa, where there was apparently we were beginning to see the beginnings of a really big problem in the general population. But no one wanted really to face that or know about it. No one wanted to know very much about the details of the way it was transmitted, except so the scientific community wanted to know. But the wider community that would have to do something about that was not going to be particularly willing to address it. Fake and substandard medicines are another three monkeys problem right now.
Elizabeth Pisani.
I think that you've been involved in an upcoming art or exhibition at the Science Gallery looking at spare parts. And I think this is interesting because you sometimes think this whole kind of public engagement with science through arts and whatever is like, ugh, really, is that a good use of my time? But what you've just said calls to mind an example from I was working with Center for Infectious Disease Research in Vietnam, and they had an artist in residence, and I was talking to one of the senior scientists who works on pigs there, and he said, yeah, I spoke to her and she was kind of interesting, but I did kind of think, what's the point? And then I looked at her artwork and she'd made this gorgeous marble sculpture that was a sort of crouched form. You could see the spine, and I looked at it and I thought, I can't tell if that's a pig or a human. And then I thought, of course, if I were a bacteria, or in your case, if I were an organ, I wouldn't care either. And I thought that was really interesting because we think of public engagement as, oh, it's a way of us explaining to them the great unwashed, the unscientific. But sometimes engaging with artists can actually make you think, oh, yeah, maybe I should think about my work a bit differently.
It going in the other direction is very important, isn't it? I mean, you deal with this moment at which the science, as it were, hits the road. We have... just last week, an example, you know, in epidemiology, that the science of epidemiology is well established, the science of vaccines, irrefutable. And yet in Portland, we have a hotspot of a measles outbreak because it's also a hotspot for anti-vaxxing. theories.
That's right. And we have so many examples of that. So, you know, the biochemists have done their job. The structural people have done their job. We have cold chain. We have all of this stuff. And yet we have people not wishing to vaccinate their children for many reasons. A classic example right now is there's a big measles. And I do a lot of work in Indonesia, which, as you know, is the fourth most populous country in the world and also the world's largest Muslim majority nation. And they're having a huge measles and rubella vaccination rollout right now. And a very large a number of provinces are under 50%, so more than 50% refusal. Aceh province, which is the most Islamic, is at 89% refusal. So only 10%, 11% of
now,
kids are vaccinated.
Why is that?
Well, why is that is because, so Joe very optimistically says, oh, well, we can have science over here and religion over there. That's not my experience. So in this case, it's particularly because religious leaders are saying vaccines are not halal. But it turns out from our research that those religious leaders, some of them also have very active businesses selling herbal medicines. So, funny that. And these are the bits of the stories that don't get told. So
now, there's two possible solutions there. You can turn to the scientist and say, can you produce us? I mean, they're not halal. Literally in one sense, because they are made with animal products. Is that right?
Correct, yes.
But then, of course, they might be made by a process that involves no animal products and still be pronounced not halal for other reasons.
Exactly.
So the solution to the problem lies somewhere between the chemists and the scientists and the imams.
That's absolutely right. But I think that we have to think about, I mean, there are other factors involved as well. Actually, there was also a very large fake vaccine scandal in Indonesia a couple of years earlier. That didn't help, probably. But we have to think about these things as systemic. It's not just, I'll develop a solution, a vaccine, a medicine, a new way of transplanting, and that's the end of the story. You still have to deal with the National Enquirer, people's belief systems, people's and the economic systems in which they exist.
Economic systems is critical. You do a lot of work on counterfeit drugs, which is clearly a market system responding in some way to the price of drugs and finding other loopholes and finding other ways through. But it's very complicated, isn't it? Because there are companies making generic drugs that are real drugs, but they're just a bit weaker.
Well, wait. It is complicated, and it's important to be clear about it. So essentially, bad drugs, there are two types of bad drugs, broadly speaking. There are drugs which are, and they're both occasioned by market mechanisms. So broadly speaking, in the world, health systems and patients are trying to get the maximum amount of drugs for the minimum amount of money. But they're made and distributed by companies that are trying to generate the maximum amount of profit for those same drugs. So you've got a bit of a clash there. And that clash affects the quality of products in two ways. One is that it can, if you're pushing down the price, then there will be companies who say, we'll just skimp a little bit on the active ingredient, which for low margin drugs can be 90% of the cost. Or the filler, the excipient, will just switch down on the production of that, and then you'll get something that doesn't dissolve as well. You won't have as much bioavailability. The drug won't work as well. So those we call substandards. Mm. So, you know, those are just not going to work as well. And from antimicrobial resistance, those are the big problem.
I mean, that has a big consequence for everybody, doesn't it?
Has a big consequence for everyone. Even if those drugs are in poor countries, they have a consequence for people in rich countries, because we are essentially just exoskeletons for bacteria and viruses. Sure. And those get on planes and end up at the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital. Then it doesn't matter how good the drugs you have in this country are, because the antimicrobial resistance was bred elsewhere.
So, and then there's substandards, and then there's
falsified drugs. We don't use the word counterfeit anymore, right, because of the conflation with intellectual property rights. So falsified drugs happen, essentially fake drugs, happen because a company says, well, I can't make money in that market anymore, so I'm going to just pull out of that market. Or the distributor says, ooh, I can make money by taking so the pound crashes after Brexit. You've got a single market. Let's go back to June 2016. The pound crashed after the Brexit. That's fact, right?
Yeah.
And so since then, 68% of imports import licenses to the UK have fallen by 68% from other EU countries. Meanwhile, exports have risen. That creates a shortage in the market. Now, unless you've got a totally watertight supply chain, those problems in the, those vacuums in the market get filled by fake drugs. And I'll give you a very concrete example.
Yeah, just quickly, and because I want to bring in... Okay.
Again, from Indonesia. So I'm sitting around with some mates and her WhatsApp thing is going ping, 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 ping. And she's a pharmacist and she says, oh, look, we've got another drug shortage because the national drugs are supposed to be at a low price, but we've run out of supply. They're being... The private market is supplying them. Instead of at 600 rupiah, they're supplying them at 6,000 rupiah. And I said, you know, I bet you within a week's time, someone will be supplying those at 2,000 and they'll be fakes. And we went off and had lunch. And by the end of lunch, she said, oh, look, 1,200. You know those are going to be fakes. They're coming in to fill a vacuum.
But they may still be purchased because...
But they may still be purchased because we need them or we want them.
I was absolutely amazed by a remark. Producer countries don't have any obligation to guarantee the quality of the drugs they send abroad. The rule is buyer beware. That seems to me astonishing. I mean, you make the point yourself that you're not allowed to fly an aircraft into a foreign country unless you have proper safety.
Mm. That's exactly right.
So how does that arise? Lobbying?
That arises because of lobbying and because of national sovereignty. I think an issue which you may be familiar with in this country right now. So there are. It's because of history. So these things arise. Science doesn't happen in a vacuum, and human. You talk about science, scientific disciplines, Bernie, being built over time, but also the social constructs around markets are all built over time. So systems that were developed when essentially the drugs industry was one country producing for its own people are now being applied to a completely globalized market. So we need to think more rapidly about changing those things.
Okay, more than 3% of work yet to be done anyway. I think that's clear. Thank you to all of my guests. Elizabeth Pisani, Visiting Senior Research Fellow at King's College London.